We're learning Shmuel Beis, Perek Zayin. We're up to Pasuk Yud Ches. David HaMelech was intended to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he asked Nasan, and Nasan HaNavi told him, do whatever you see fit. Certainly if David felt inspired, it was probably with Ruach HaKodesh, and that was the will of Hashem. But then the Nevuah came to Nasan, and Hashem told Nasan, tell David he will not be allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash. And we discussed why in Divrei HaYomim, it says since he's a man of who shed much blood, he's fought battles, he shouldn't be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. But his son Shlomo HaMelech will build the Beis HaMikdash, and he'll start the Davidic dynasty that will go on forever, until the times of Mashiach. Now we're going to see David's reaction. Is David happy or sad? He wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. He was told he wouldn't be able to, but he would have a son who would have that zechus, and there would be Malchus Beis David. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayavo HaMelech David. The pasuk before this is Kain Diber Nosan El David. The last words were that Nosan said the following message to David, that he wouldn't be able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but he would have a son and a dynasty, and the son would build the Beis HaMikdash. Vayavo HaMelech David. Now the king David came. Vayeshev lifnei Hashem. And he sat before Hashem. Chazal learn out from here. Could be it's also the fact that it stresses that he was the king. That you're not allowed to sit in front in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, unless you are a king from Malchus Beis David, one of the kings who descends from David HaMelech. But David was allowed, because here it clearly says, the Vayavo HaMelech David, the King David came, Vayeshev lifnei Hashem, and he sat before Hashem, meaning he was in front of the Aron in Yerushalayim, where later they would build, and later there would be a Beis HaMikdash. In front of the Aron, you can't sit. And you can't sit in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, unless you are David or one of his descendants. In fact, we'll learn later on when there was the split, and Yeravam ben Nevat broke off, and he's with the 10 tribes, and he made his own group. He stopped allowing people to be Ola Regal. They were not allowed to go to Yerushalayim, because he reasoned that if he would go to Yerushalayim, let's say there'd be 2 different kingdoms, and he would go 3 times a year to Yerushalayim, and maybe those occasions everyone would get together. The problem would be, the kings of Malchus Beis David would be sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, and he would be standing. So it would be very clear that he doesn't have the authority of a king like Malchus Beis David. Therefore, Yeravam ben Nevat instituted that there's no going to Yerushalayim to be Ola Regel, because he wouldn't be allowed to sit, and the Malchus Beis David do sit. So Vayeshev lefnei Hashem. David came and he sat before Hashem. And it could be, we'll see from what the words that David says, we see his humility, and we see the relationship that he has with Hashem, and it could be that was the Mefarshim say, it could be that was why he was given this special zechus that he was allowed to sit. A regular person who sits in the Azara would be a slight to the honor of Hashem. In the presence of Hashem, you have to stand. But for David, it was so clear his humility to Hashem, he was allowed and his descendants to sit in the Azara. Another explanation is David is going to daven now. He's going to ask Hashem that the monarchy should last and what the great things that Hashem has promised should come true. And before davening, it's not always easy, sometimes we're running late, but before davening, Vayeshev lifnei Hashem. First David sat. He composed his thoughts. He didn't come in harried and in a rush. He sat lifnei Hashem. Then afterwards he davened. And we'll see, it could be he stood up. Some of Hashem say when he actually davened, he was standing. But that initial moment when he came in, Vayavo HaMelech David, the King David came, Vayeshev lifnei Hashem. And he sat before Hashem. to wait a moment, to wait a few moments, whatever. The Hasidim Harishonim would wait an hour before davening. I mean, the Mefarshim discuss when they, I think Rabbeinu Yonah mentions there in Brochus, that when they davened, they were on a, it was almost close to the level of prophecy. As they imagined, and they were able to reach a spiritual height as if they were, in other words, we before davening, we think, you know, we have in mind, we're toward the Beis HaMikdash, as if we're before Hashem, but they actually sort of raised themselves to a spiritual level that it was almost like they reached the level of prophecy. And the Chassidim HaRishonim would wait an hour before davening. But we see this point here. Vayeshev lifnei Hashem. And as I say, there's two lessons we've mentioned here. First of all, that he was allowed to sit in front of the Aron. And Malchus Beis David would be allowed to sit in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash. And also before his davening, he waited. Vayeshev lifnei Hashem. Vayomer. And then David HaMelech said, Anochi Hashem Elokim. Mi Anochi? Mi Anochi? Who am I? Hashem Elokim. Hashem is, we're not going to discuss each time, but if we'll notice during the tefillah, very often the names of Hashem are mentioned, and each name has its own significance, and why they were mentioned so many times, but here Hashem simply means, Hashem is the Midas HaRachamim, and Elokim is the Midas HaDin, both the God of mercy and of justice. And he's referring to Hashem in all the ways that we're aware of his greatness. And mi anochi, who am I, Hashem Elokim? Umi vesi? And who is my household? Ki havio sani ad halom, that you've brought me to this point. Dame ayin bosa. You're supposed to know, you're supposed to think where you're coming from. And for David HaMelech, he always had that thought, besides the simple meaning. Mi anochi, who am I? I'm coming from Rusa Moavia. And we know Lo Yovo Amoni Moavi Bikal Hashem. Moav is a nation that's not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. And even though the women are allowed, and that was the heter for David HaMelech, but he always had that feeling, but he is coming from Rusa Moavia. Mi Anochi, who am I? And not only that, not only was he allowed to become part of Klal Yisrael, but Ki Havi Osani, you brought me Ad Halom. To this point, and halom is a term that signifies monarchy and kingship. It's mentioned by Shaul HaMelech when it's inquired, where is Shaul? And it says that he was hiding. They use over there the term halom. Halom is a term Chazal notices used by a king. They have brought to this level, as Rashi points out, Shehim Lachtani, you made me the king. A person would deserve such greatness. Sometimes a person gets greatness because of his own merits, and sometimes he gets it because of his family. David HaMelech was saying, I have neither. Mi anochi, on a personal level, I'm not deserving. And I don't feel that I should be the one that you would have chosen to give this greatness to. Umi beisi, and my household. It's not like my family would have been the one to be chosen. And yet you've taken me, and you've made me the king. And he doesn't refuse being the king. In other words, he accepted that he was the king. Like we had in Shoftim, there was a judge, Gidon, in Shoftim Perek Ches. And the people wanted to make him the king. And he refused, because he knew that he wasn't to be the king. David HaMelech knew, on one hand, he knew that he wasn't unrealistic. He wasn't naive. He knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make him the king. Shmuel had anointed him to be the king. On the other hand, he had that feeling that I don't deserve it at all, but this is what Hashem wants. Who am I? Ki aviyosani ad halom, that you brought me to such greatness. Vatiktan odzos beinecha. And even this was insufficient. It was too small of a kindness. Hashem Elokim. Vatadabra gamel beis avdecha. You've spoken even to the household of your servant. In other words, my whole family has been given a greatness, l'mei rachok, for far away. Meaning, I'm being promised that my descendants, till the end of time, will be kings. There'll be Malchus Beis David. As we've mentioned, Mashiach is going to come from Malchus Beis David. So, even for me to be the king is a tremendous chesed and I'm undeserving. And you promised it for all generations. You've spoken for what's going to be far, far away in the future. The Ralbag learns, L'mei Rochok is even if there'll be descendants that are distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we use the term Kiruv Rechoikim. L'mei Rochok, even those that are distanced, and there are going to be descendants who are going to learn, are going to be Rishoim. And they themselves are going to be totally unworthy. But the lineage of Malchus Beis David will continue. And you've spoken L'mei Rochok, even for those that are far away. V'zos Torah Sa'odom Hashem Elokim. And there's many ways of explaining this. The Ralbag learns, V'zos Torah Sa'odom. This is the law of man. This is the way life goes. There's always some people who are tzaddikim and some people are rishoyim. And when you're promising Malchus to David forever, we know that there are going to be some descendants who are going to be no good and some that are going to be good. And yet you've promised that Malchus Beis David will continue. Also, V'zos Torah Sa'odom, David HaMelech said, I realize this is not a personal honor and a personal gift to me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his plans that the world should reach perfection. The world needs Klal Yisrael. Without Klal Yisrael, the world couldn't exist. But hopefully, with the course of time, the Goyim will come to realize that there's one Hashem and that Hashem expects us to behave in a certain way and to accept His rulership. And a Klal Yisrael will bring the world to perfection. And among Klal Yisrael, you need Kohanim. You need a Shevet that's devoted, the Kohanim and the Levium, to serving Hashem. And they serve as the role models. And we need Malchus Beis David. The concept of a kingdom on earth. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, He wants to be a kingdom down here that's totally committed to doing the Ratzon Hashem. And David HaMelech was fit for that. V'zos Torah Sa'odom. You've spoken to the law of man, Hashem Elohim. What mankind needs. And somehow you've given me that privilege, me and my descendants, of forming the Malchus Beis David. Throughout this tefillah, and again, we're not going to focus on every nuance, but in Divrei HaYomim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, it also quotes the tefillah of David. And over there are changes. And some Mefarshim learn that this is a tefillah that David HaMelech said, and he said it at the very beginning when he was told that there would be a Malchus Beis David. But he kept on saying it. It was said through his whole lifetime, and there were many descendants he had that also picked up on this tefillah and davened that the Malchus Beis David should last. And therefore, looking at it for a perspective, after Malchus Beis David is secure, somehow there are changes in the nuances, and there are changes in the meanings of the word, and there are differences. This could be the tefillah that he said for the first time. But at this point in the tefillah, in Divrei HaYomim it says, Urisani kisor ha'odam hamala. You saw me as the crown of the superlative individual. You saw me as being v'zos Torah ha'odom, as if to say, I've reached the you're treating me as a man of perfection. Ha'odom, the man. So I'm not worthy at all to be the king. And that you chose me as the one who would be able to establish for all generations. Malchus and Klal Yisrael is a gift way beyond what I'm deserving. And Rashi mentions Tupishotim, V'zos Torah Sa'odom. Is this what a man deserves? Where do you ever find that Hashem comes to a person and tells him personal greatness that doesn't involve that's for him, that you should know your family is being chosen for all generations? Who can believe that HaKadosh Baruch was giving me such good news? And a last pshat, Adam HaRishon was shown all the generations of mankind, what the future would be, what would happen in every generation. And you've sort of given me that present like Adam HaRishon, and you've told me that through the generations, there'll be Malchus Beis David. V'zos Torah Sa'odom, like Adam HaRishon, you've given me that same treatment, that same gift to know that my descendants will be the king. Umay Yosef David owed the Dabrei Lecha. What more could David say to you? To say that I'm not fit? V'ata yadatos avdecha Hashem Elokim. You know me better than I know myself. I'm telling you, I realize I wasn't deserving and this is just your chesed. You know that. V'ata yadatos avdecha. You know me very well. And even though you're giving me this present of Malchus, I know and you know that I'm not deserving. Also, it could be, my Yosef owed, David owed the Dabrei Lecha. What more could I ask for? I wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, and you told me I would not be able to build it, but you gave me such a gift that my children would be Malchus Beis David forever. There's nothing more to ask for. There's not a feeling of a letdown that he wasn't able to build the Beis HaMikdash. The overriding emotion was one of thankfulness to Hashem that his son would be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash and the Malchus would continue. So what more is there to ask? There's nothing more even to ask for. Va'ata yadatas avdecha. You know your servant. And the word yadat is a lashon of to know and to love. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about Avram, ki yadativ, I love Avram Avinu. L'man ashe yitzav es bonav es beiso achrav, because he instructs his family to do tztaka and mishpah, to do what's right. Ki yadativ means to have that special love. In other words, you've shown me such a caring and such a concern, there's nothing more I could ask for. And what more could I say? I have such emotions and such a feeling of thanks to Hashem, but I can't put it more into words. Umay Yosef David owed the Dabrei Lecha. What more could David? Again, he doesn't, of course, refer to himself as the king. He's speaking to Hashem. What more could David say to you? Va'ata yadatas avdecha. You know my feelings. You know what I'm really thinking. And even though I can't, there's a limit to how much I can say on the subject, but you know how contrite and how sincere and how I really feel this chesed is much more than I deserve. Va'ata yadatas avdecha Hashem Elokim. You know your servant. Ba'avur devorcha. Because of your word, uchlivcha, your desire, asisa is kol hagedula hazos. You've done all of this greatness. It would seem that David is given this promise about his descendants because David HaMelech took the first step. He was the one who, after hundreds of years, finally realized now is the time to build the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll see, he had such a desire, he accumulated wealth, and he set up all the plans, and he did whatever he could do to build the Beis HaMikdash without building it. But he had such a strong desire, and he had asked Nosson if he could build the Beis HaMikdash. It would seem it's because of David HaMelech's words and his thoughts that he was given this tremendous greatness. But David says, Bavur Devarcha. It really is not my words. It's because of your words. Uchlibcha. And you, Hashem, for whatever reason, Hashem wants this. And therefore, Sisa is called HaGedula HaZos. You've done all of this greatness. Rashi says, Bavur Devarcha. Because you told Shmuel HaNavi to anoint me as the king. And because you promised to make me the king, whether I'm deserving or not, many years have gone by since then, but you made me the king, so you're carrying it through because of your word that I should be the king. Uchlibcha, and your desire, that's why Asisa's kol hagedula hazos. You've done all this greatness for me. Lahodia es avdecha, to inform your servant, to inform me and let me know that the greatness that you're going to be giving to my family. Normally, as we mentioned, a navi is sent with a message for Klal Yisrael. Very often sent with rebuke for the people that they should do tshuva. Sometimes he's given with a national message of something that the people should do or what's going to happen to them in the future. But you don't find a Navi being sent with a mission to tell somebody his private successor, what's going to happen to him in his private life. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously feels this is something that involves, it's not just a greatness for David himself. This was your word and your desire, Asisais Kol HaGedulah Azos, that you've done this greatness. Lo Odias Avdecha, to inform me, to inform your servant. Al Kein Godalto Hashem Elokim. Therefore, you've been great, Hashem. It's hard to understand exactly what the connection is. Because you promised to make me the king, Al Kein Godalto Hashem Elokim. Therefore, you've shown your greatness. It could be because Hashem is showing a chesed to David that he's not deserving. That shows Hashem's greatness. It says in Parshas Vayeschanan, when Moshe Rabbeinu davened to come into Eretz Yisrael, it says, "Ata achilosa laharos es avdecha es godlecha." You began to show your servant es godlecha your greatness. And Rashi over there says, "Zumiras tuvcha." Your goodness. Now, as Eskalacha, the greatness of Hashem means the goodness and the chesed that Hashem does. I think it might all be connected. I didn't see this, but it says in Bereishis, "Es Hamor HaGadol Ves Hamor HaKatan." There's a famous Devar Torah. Why is the sun called the Mor HaGadol, the great luminary? And the moon is called the Mor HaKatan, the small light. And an explanation given is, the sun gives light, and the moon merely reflects it. A gadol is somebody who's mashpia, who influences, who provides for others. The sun provides light and gives light, it illuminates. So the sun is called the mor hagadol. The levana merely reflects what it receives. It doesn't give on its own. So that's the mor hakatan, the small luminary. To a gadol is, it means to be mashpia, to be able to give. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, as godlecha means the greatness of Hashem is the goodness of Hashem. And the fact that Hashem did such a chesed for David, even though David says, I didn't deserve it at all, and you did such a great chesed, al kein godalto Hashem Elokim. You've shown your gedula, your greatness. But don't think it just means that Hashem is greater than others. Kien kamocha. First of all, there's no one like you. There's no one that does such a chesed like a. No one is able to do such a chesed like Hashem does. And it's not even like there's a minor balei chesed in relation to Hashem. There is no others. Ve'en Elokim zulasecha. There's no other power. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is the only one. Kechol asher shamanu bozneinu. And this is something that we know, and David HaMelech says, I've experienced it, how I am totally undeserving, and you promised such greatness to my family. And it's k'chol asher shamanu bozneinu, like we have heard with our ears. In other words, we know from our ancestors about the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for Klal Yisrael, even when Klal Yisrael was totally undeserving. You know, the Ramban says, when Yaakov was going to meet Esav, he said, "Katonti mikol achasodim mikol emes," and which Rashi explains, "I've become smaller, I've become diminished through all the chesed and emes. You've done so much for me. Maybe I'm not worthy to be saved from Esav." And the Ramban over there asks, "If so, what's Yaakov Avinu saying afterwards? Va'ata amarta heitev eitiv imach." And you said you'll do good with me, v'samti azaracha k'chol hayom, and I'll make your children as numerous as the sand by the sea. If Yaakov just said that, you know, I don't deserve it because I've katonti from all the chesed and emes, so how can he turn around and say, v'ata amarta heite v'eti imach? You yourself said, you're no longer deserving. Before Shem answer Rashi, that Rashi, as Rashi himself says, heite Eitiv, I'll do good with you in your zechus, and I'll do good with you in the zechus of your ancestors. So even if Yaakov doesn't deserve it, but he comes from an Avram and a Yitzchak. The Ramban learns katonti means, different than Rashi, katonti means I was small to begin with. Katonti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes. Yaakov Avinu said, when you promised me all the great things, I didn't deserve it to begin with. So if you promised it to me, even though I didn't deserve all the chesed and emes, and now Esav is coming and I'm in danger of being wiped out, And you've said, Heitev Eitiv Emach, you'll do good with me. So it's not even a question of I've used up my zechusim. I didn't have zechusim for you to have made such a promise to begin with. That's the way the Ramban understands it. And what David HaMelech is saying over here is, you've promised me this tremendous chesed, even though I wasn't deserving it. Ki ein kamocha, there's no one like you, v'ein Elokim zulasechem, there is no other Elokim. No, there is no other power. And this is k'chosh shemanu bozneinu. We've heard it with our ears, that this is the way Hashem deals with Klal Yisrael, that even if Klal Yisrael is not deserving, there'll always be a Klal Yisrael, and Hashem has done chasodim with us, whether we deserve it or not. And with that perspective, I understand, I see this, if you do such a chesed with me, we can see the chesed that Hashem will do with Klal Yisrael. Umicha amcha ki Yisrael, who's like your people, like Klal Yisrael? Goy echad ba'aretz. They're one nation in the land. The simple meaning could be, we started out as one nation like all the other nations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us and He made us His people and He gave us the Torah. We were goy echad, we were like one nation among the nations of the land. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this greatness. But the Gemara says in Brochus on Daf Vav, Hashem says, you've made me chativa achas ba'olam. The Jewish people say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made it known that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that Hashem is one. He's unique. He's the absolute. There's nothing else. He's one. There's only one controlling force of the whole world. There's one Hashem. You've said that I'm one. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I say about you, Umicha Amcha Yisrael Goyecha Baretz. Who's like, over here it says, Umicha Amcha Ki Yisrael. In Divrei Hayomim it says, Mika Amcha Yisrael. And which is the way we say it in davening. But who's like your people, like Klal Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz, that are unique? That there's only one people like Klal Yisrael, that eventually the world will get the message that everyone should accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king and live in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and demands from the world. But Klal Yisrael is the only nation that spreads that message. And it's the Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Asher Holchu Elokim, that Hashem went, Liftos Lo La'om, to redeem and to take for Himself as a nation. As we're noticing, the focus of this tefillah has changed. David beforehand was talking about himself and his family. Now David is talking about the chesed that Hashem does with the whole Jewish people. Because we'll see that Malchus Beis David is dependent on Klal Yisrael existing forever. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, will live forever. And Malchus Beis David will be their leaders and will have the monarchy forever. As long as there's a king, it'll be for Malchus Beis David. So who is like Klal Yisrael? Asher holchu Elokim, that Hashem went, liftos lo la'om, to redeem for Himself as a nation. We shouldn't lose sight of what the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out to make us His people. V'losum lo shame, and to give Hashem a renown, that Hashem should have a name through the whole world, He should be famous, people should become aware of the existence of Hashem. That's why He brought many makos. He could have just one time wiped out the Mitzrim and would go free. But there was a prolonged process of the 10 makos, and Paro was warned, and again, and back and forth, that it should be clear to everyone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Hu Elokim, that Hashem is the controlling power. And you did this losum lo shame, to bring fame. V'lasos lochem. And now David HaMelech turns to the people and he says, V'lasos lochem, it's to you, everyone here. V'lasos lochem ha-gedula, this greatness is being done for you, for Klal Yisrael. V'noros, and the wondrous things, la'artzecha, for your land. And again, now he's addressing Hashem. Mipnei amcha, because of your nation, asher podisa lecha mimitzrayim, that you redeemed from Mitzrayim. Goyim velo, poshut, the meaning is goyim velo hov. We'll see or whether it has the word has kedusha or not. We'll see in a moment. Thank you. Asher Padisal, the nation that you took from Mitzrayim. But this is, by the way, an example. All authority very often is worded in the plural. In other words, the words Asher Holchu, that they went, Elohim, that Hashem went, even though it's referring to Hashem, it's in the plural. Like we just had in the yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah, the Adonai Yosef took him, the masters of Yosef. But whenever it's talking about authority, very often it's in the plural. Like it'd say the royal we. But Asher Holchu Elohim, that Hashem went. The Targum actually learns, Holchu is they went, that there were messengers who went from Elohim, from Hashem. Meaning Moshe and Aaron were sent by Hashem to take us out of Mitzrayim. Goyim velokov. Either it means, there are many understandings of that pasuk. Either it means you redeemed us from Mitzrayim. Asher padis lechom Mitzrayim. You redeemed us from Mitzrayim. Goyim from all the nations and the people living there. Velohov with all of their idols. They were all judged and destroyed. And you took us out. Or it could mean the wonders v'noros l'artzecha, the wonders you did for your land. To drive them out before Klal Yisrael that you brought from Mitzrayim. And those wonders you did for your land, Goyim Velohov. Again, all the nations that lived in Israel and all of their different idols, they were all wiped out and Klal Yisrael was given the land. There's a pshat which I find a little difficult to understand. But it says, Goyim, Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim, is each like a separate nation. There were the 12 Shvatim. And Velo Hov means, when they crossed Kriyas Yamsuf, Chazal said they brought, there was an Avodah Zarah brought. Later on, it was set up as Pesel Micha. There was an idol set up. And it was brought through Kriyas Yamsuf. In fact, in Parshas Beshalach, it says, V'amayim lahem choma, the water was a wall on the sides of Bnei Yisrael when they crossed through the Yamsuf. It's written in one place without a vav, as if to be read, V'amayim lahem chema. There was a certain anger that as Klal Yisrael was crossing through Kriyas Yamsuf and this miracle was being done for them, there were people who brought along an idol. But so you did all this for Klal Yisrael, Asher Padisa Lechom Mitzrayim, Goyim, all the different Shevatim, all the different tribes, like nations, Velohav with their idol, with their Avodah Zarah, and you did it all for them. What I find a little hard to understand is why David would mention this in his tefillah. I mean, it does show the tolerance of Hashem, but it mentions a negative aspect of Klal Yisrael. And the other meaning, a more enjoyable shot, the people that you redeemed from Mitzrayim, Goyim, the 12 Shvatim, Velokov, with Hashem. Meaning Hashem, you redeemed us, and you redeemed yourself. Because Imo Anochi Betzara. And when Klal Yisrael was suffering in Mitzrayim, like Chazal say, V'sachas Raglov Kamase Livnas HaSapir, it was like Hashem had a brick. From the bricks they were working with, and it was like kept in front of Hashem, Kaviyocha, whatever it means, but it was to signify that HaKadosh Baruch was constantly aware of the suffering of Klal Yisrael. And when we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, it was Goyim, the nations, that Klal Yisrael, Velo Covenants, as if Hashem allowed himself to be brought up and redeemed from Mitzrayim. But Techonein Lecha, you established for yourself, Es Amcha, your people, Yisrael, Lechov, to be for you, La'am, as a nation, Ad Oilam, forever. You've established Klal Yisrael. This was a process of hundreds of years. There were mistakes that were meant, and there were punishments, and there were Nevi'im who were sent with warnings, and there were Shoftim who arose and saved the nation from their oppressors. This whole process of Klal Yisrael living under the guidance of Hashem establishes them firmly that we realize we're the Am Hashem, Batachonin Lecha, you established it for yourself that we should be your nation Ad Olam, forever. Va'ato Hashem, and you Hashem, ho'yisa lahem le'elokim, you were for them, you were already for them as Elohim, they realize you're their, you're the one, you're their God, you're the one that controls them. So now David has mentioned, Sechesed, that he was granted the Malchus forever, and Klal Yisrael was chosen by Hashem to be his people forever, and now David HaMelech is going to daven about this. Va'ato Hashem Elokim, and now Hashem Elokim, Hadova Asher Dibarto Al Avdecha, the word that you've spoken about your servant. And he doesn't mention clearly the Dvar to be king. It's understood, and perhaps because of his anivus, his humility, he didn't want to again mention, I'm the king, you've made me the king. But Hadova, this word, Asher Dibarto Al Avdecha, what you've spoken about your servant, Valbesu and his household, Hokem, establish it ad olam forever. Vasei kasher dibarta, and do as you have spoken. It seems to be redundant, do as you have spoken. We just mentioned, Hokem ad olam, establish it forever. It could be vasei kasher dibarta, some of Forshim say. We learned earlier, Nosson told David that your descendants will be the kings forever. And if they slip, v'hochachti v'shevet, and I'll rebuke them, v'hochachti v'shevet pish v'shevet anoshim, with a stick of people, and its people will be sent to give them a punishment, v'nigei b'nei odom, or they'll have whatever afflictions people suffer from, in Pasuk Yudalad. Hashem said, I'll keep a constant relationship with Malchus Beis David. And if they slip, there'll be a punishment, but I'll keep guiding them. By the nations, you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets them go wrong and wrong and wrong, and then eventually they're wiped out. That's it. They no longer deserve to exist. With Klal Yisrael and with Malchus Beis David, it's not going to be like that. If there's something that goes wrong, Hashem is going to work to correct it. And sometimes it's painful and it's a punishment, but it keeps us on the right path, that we're the Am HaNivchor and the chosen people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have us as his people forever. So vasei du kasher dibarta, make sure the malchus lasts forever, and do as you've spoken, that if they do wrong, they should get their punishment and get back on the right path. Or vasei kasher dibarta could mean do as you've spoken about Klal Yisrael. Establish my monarchy forever, and Klal Yisrael should be forever. V'yigdal shimcha ad olam, and your name should be great forever. Not to lose sight of the purpose of this. You've given me the Malchus, and my family will have Malchus Beis David. It's only there to increase the kavod of Hashem. V'yigdal shimcha ad olam, your name should be great forever. Lamor, that people should say, it should be spoken about, they'll say Hashem Tzvokos. Hashem is the Tzvokos, meaning he controls all of, like a general controlling an army, all the hosts, and everyone has their place and their function and their mission and what they're supposed to be accomplishing. And Hashem guides the whole world like that. Of course, we realize that nature and the solar system and all of nature is controlled and has a rhythm and a method, and they have their function and their purpose. But down here on earth also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his plans for mankind. And you're Hashem Tzvokos, Elohim al Yisrael, and you're the Elohim over Klal Yisrael. Meaning there's nature and there's the natural course of events, and then there are miracles that Hashem does to show that Hashem is Elohim al Yisrael. And your name should be great, that people should realize you're Hashem Tzvokos, and you're also the Elohim al Yisrael. Ubeis avdecha David, and the house of your servant David, Yehenochon Lefanecha, should be established before you. In Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Hey, it says as follows, Im Yamushu Achukim Ha'elem Milfonayinu Mashem, if these laws, the laws of nature, will be ended, then Gam Zera Yisrael Yishpasu, then Klal Yisrael could be put to an end. Mios Goy Lefanai, for being a nation before me. In other words, if the world will end, then Klal Yisrael would end. But as long as there's a world, there will definitely be Klal Yisrael. And the Sukkim after that discuss about Klal Yisrael. And in Perek Lamed Gimel in Yirmiyah, it says a similar idea about Malchus Beis David. In Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Chof, Ko Omar Hashem, Im Toferu Es Brisi Hayom, if you'll nullify my bris, my covenant with the day, Ves Brisi Aloyla, and the covenant, the treaty that I have with the night, that the night will always be night when it's supposed to be night. And if there won't be day and night in its time, then Gam Brisi Tufar Es David Avdi, then you can cancel my bris with David. Mios lo bein molech al kiso, that he shouldn't have a son ruling on my throne. Ves halavim hakohanim meshoysa, and the levim and the kohanim won't be serving me. Meaning, as long as there's a world, there'll be a Klal Yisrael. And as long as there's a world, there'll be Malchus Beis David, there'll be Kohanim and Levim with their function. These are gifts that Hashem has set up to last forever. Ki ato Hashem Tzvokos. Now back in Pasuk Chav Zayin. Ki ato Hashem Tzvokos. You Hashem Tzvokos. Elokei Yisrael, who is the Elohim of a Klal Yisrael. Golisas Ozen Avdecha. You've uncovered my ear. In other words, you've told me this information. Lamor saying very clearly, again, that word Lamor is to make it a very clear message. Bayis Evnaloch. You told me that you're building for me a royal house, a dynasty. Because I never would have had the audacity or the dream of even asking for such a thing. Because I myself don't deserve to be king. But you told me that my household would be kings. Alkei Motza Avdecha Eslibo, and therefore your servant has found his heart, his desire, Lispal Elecha, to daven to you as a tefillah hazos, this tefillah. Why am I davening for the monarchy? Because you told me that the monarchy is, there will be a Malchus Beis David. So if you said it, now I can daven that it should come true. It should be. There's a tefillah of the Chazon Ish. It's interesting that he writes a tefillah that parents should say for children, that they should turn out the way they should. And he says a tefillah, Shetarachem, he has Lashon Shetarachem al Bona, Yishav Rachmonis on my children and inspire them, La'avil Yirashemecha. And you should remove from before my child or children, Kol Hasibos Hamunos Oso Mishkedas Toroscha. All of the Sibos, all of the events, all of the causes that would remove him from being diligent in Torah HaKadosha, V'tochin es kol asibos, and just prepare everything, cause there should be all the causes that would bring him, Amavios Osol Sarasach HaKadosha, that bring him to learn Torah. A person has free will, a person has Bechira, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu very often can, if a person has Siyata Dishmaya, he can, hopefully Hashem can help. You can daven that your child should some point in life go to a Rebbe that he feels an attachment, that he feels inspired, it brings him to serve Hashem. And sometimes if a guy gets caught up with the wrong crowd, it's a disaster. Now, of course, the person has bechira, he has choice. But what David HaMelech is saying is, you've promised all this, you've promised this to my children, but it still needs tefillah. Because it can end up not working out the way it should. And you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should help bring it to fulfillment, meaning you should hold all the events and everything should be brought together in a way a person shouldn't have a challenge or a test if it's one that he's going to fail. A person should be given life circumstances that will help him be a success. Va'ata Hashem Elokim, and now Hashem Elokim, Atahu Elokim. I've just said a long tefillah, David HaMelech says. And I've said the tefillah, we just explained what the purpose of the tefillah is. But don't think I'm davening, because I think you promised, and could be you won't carry it out. Maybe you won't have the ability unless I daven and you feel the extra need or necessity. But no, don't think it's because I feel you might not carry it through. Maybe you'll change your mind. Maybe you don't have the power. Maybe it wasn't really a nevuah. Chas v'shalom. V'ata Hashem Elokim. Now, Hashem Elokim. Atahu Elokim. I know that you are the Elokim. or as whatever you say, you have the power and you can do it. Udvarecha yiyu emes, and your words will be true. It's not like Hashem is just going to change. As long as we're deserving, well, all the promises will come true. And whatever was said was a nevuah. It's not like I'm questioning that. But to davar al avdecha es hatov hazos, you've spoken to your servant all of this goodness, or as I know it's a nevuah, and I know that that my malchus, my dynasty will continue forever. Va'ata, now hoel, you should desire, you should want, to varech es beis avdecha, and bless the household of your servant, lios la'olam lefanecha, that malchus beis David should always be before you. Meaning they should be tzaddikim, like he's halach lefanai, to go before Hashem. Lios la'olam lefanecha, they should always be before you as tzaddikim. Ki ato Hashem Elokim, you Hashem Elokim dibarta, you've spoken. Umi birchoscha, and from your blessing, if you'll bless them that they should serve you, you'll help bring the events around that they will serve Hashem and they'll be tzaddikim. Yivorach beis avdecha la'olam. I know if they serve you, they'll be blessed. The beis avdecha will be blessed forever. I'm just asking that you, Hashem, should do whatever you could to help bring about all the sibos, all the causes that the malchus beis David will last forever. That's Perek Zayin. Let's do a little bit of Perek Ches. Vahi achreichein. It was after this. So anyways, we're finished in Perek Zayin. Again, David HaMelech was told he would not build the Beis HaMikdash, his descendants would, and David just davened with a totally, we see what makes him the Melech David. Vayovo HaMelech David. The King David came, and you're wondering, why what made him the king? Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem, what we mentioned in Pasuk Yud Ches, and he was able to sit before Hashem in the Azara, in front of the Aron. And you're wondering, what's special about Malchus Beis David? And you see his reaction. That it was totally whatever he got from Hashem, it was all a gift. It was all undeserved, and he's not worthy of it. But Hashem promised him the Malchus, and Klal Yisrael should exist forever, and Hashem should show them to be his nation, and it should all bring about a kavod to Hashem. This was the tefillah of David. Now back to the events of his life. Vayhi achrechein, it was after this. Vayach David es plishtim. David struck the plishtim, vayachniyam, and he humbled them. The Mefarshim learned, David was told he couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash, because he was a man of war. And even though David HaMelech felt that things were quiet, the nations were no longer attacking him, and he would be able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but Hashem said, no, that's not your role. You're a man of war, your son will build the Beis HaMikdash. So David reasoned, even though things are quiet now, but if Hashem views my role as the one to defend and protect Klal Yisrael, I'm going to attack the nations around Klal Yisrael that have caused us so much misery over the centuries, and if they're now humbled and subservient to Klal Yisrael, even after my passing in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, Klal Yisrael will be safe. So David now initiates a number of wars against his neighbors. And Vayach David es Plishtim, which we had many, many times, the problems with the Plishtim. So now David went ahead and he attacked the Plishtim, Vayachniyam, and he humbled them. And we don't really need to know the details of all the wars. It's a one pasuk statement, because the purposes we'll see shortly. All those nations were humbled before Klal Yisrael, and the wealth was taken and put aside for the Beis HaMikdash. Vayikach David es Meseg Ho'ama. The simple meaning is David took the name of a place, it was called Meseg Ho'ama, and he took that territory, Miyad Plishtim, from the hands of the Plishtim. Again, David we don't find he asked the Urim V'tumim. It was clear to David HaMelech, if Hashem said, don't build the Beis HaMikdash, because that's not who you are. You're the Ish Melchama. David understood that this is what Hashem wanted. Rashi brings down Meseg Ho'ama. There were five different cities among the Plishtim, city-states. There was Ashdod, and there was Aza, and there was Ekron, and Ashkelon. The only one that you find had a king was Gas. Gas is the fifth one. Gas had a king. In Divrei Hayomim, it says that David took Gas, Vespinoseho, and the cities around it. He took Gas. What David did was he took away the power of rulership from the Plishtim. He broke their strength. He took their capital city. The only one of those cities of the Plishtim that had a king was Gas. And David took Gas, which here is called Mesek Ho'ama. Mesek is like the reins, the harness that you use to control an animal. And Ho'ama can mean the hand, or the but also with the control, or the Ama could be a measuring stick. He took the Mesek Ho'ama, he took the harness, or he took that stick that you use to control others. He took the Mesek Ho'ama Miyad Plishtim. He took away from them their control and their rulership. There's a medrash that when Avimelech came to Yitzchak and he said, we see that Hashem is with you and let's make a treaty. Kasher asin imcha rak tov, and we did good with you and we send you away in peace. You should have peace with us. There's a medrash that says, and we've had this before, that the different nations, whether the Plishtim and Avimelech with Avram Avinu, had a treaty that Avram wouldn't attack the Plishtim or their descendants wouldn't attack. They did the same thing with Yitzchak. It says Yitzchak had he was on his chamor, on his camel, and they came to him and they wanted to, that they should make a treaty, and David gave them a piece of the harness, which is to show control over the animal, the control, and he gave it to the Plishtim, to Avimelech, as a sign that Klal Yisrael wouldn't attack, at least for those few generations. And they kept that. It might have been a different one, because this is hundreds of years later, maybe they made a replica, but they always had this Mesek Ho'ama, this, like a strap from the harness, as a reminder that Klal Yisrael wouldn't attack them. And of course they broke the deal many, many times, because the Plishtim, we've had many times attack Klal Yisrael. But before David HaMelech went and he defeated them, he took away that Mesek Ha'ama, that they couldn't use it as a taunt and hold the Jewish people to a different standard, a double standard, and they go ahead and break the treaty, and then they hold Klal Yisrael responsible to keep what they had mentioned. The treaty was long expired, and the Plishtim had also broken it. So he took this Mesek Ha'ama from the Plishtim. It's important to notice that, of course, there was no unusual punishments given or anything. He defeated the Plishtim. Because in Pasuk Beis, we see a very unusual Pasuk, a very unusual idea. Vayaches Moav. David struck Moav. Vayimadadein bachevel. And he measured them with a rope. Hashkevosam Arza. He had them lying on the ground. Vayimadad shnei chavolim lahamis. And he measured out like two rope lengths. He measured a certain, let's say, 2 feet. Whoever fit in that area was killed. And one rope length of the people he kept alive. In other words, 2/3 of the people were killed and 1/3 was kept alive. And it was done in a very degrading manner. They were lying on the floor and he measured them with this rope. It's a very unusual type of treatment that David HaMelech did. And the Mefarshim noticed that they placed this right between the incident with the Plishtim, where there was no such punishment, and we'll see the other wars that David HaMelech did, there was no such thing like this. This was a very unusual situation. But to him, Moav LeDavid, Moav became under the control of David, LaVodim as servants, Nosei Mincha, who would pay taxes, who would bring presents, who showed that they were under the control of David. As Rashi brings down, and the Mefarshim pointed, even starts earlier, when Klal Yisrael was coming through the Midbar, Moav was the one that hired Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, and Moav was against Klal Yisrael from that point already. David came from Rus HaMoaviyah. He came from Moav. And when David was fleeing from Sheol, he figured Moav would at least take care of his family. So he left his father and his mother and his brothers with the king of Moab because he was running away from Sheol. And then he went wherever he went. And it was understood that the king of Moab would take care of them. After David left, the king of Moab killed David's father and mother and brothers. And there was one brother who escaped, And there was one brother who escaped, but the rest of the family was killed by the king of Moab. The people in Moab, I'm not even sure if it's necessary to come on to this chiddush, if you want to use the term. But I was thinking, the truth is, the Ramban discusses in Parshas Vayishlach, when it says Shimon and Levi wiped out the city of Shechem. And the Mefarshim discuss, why did he kill the whole city? Well, what right did he have to do it? And the Ramban says the simple reason is that all the goyim there were not keeping the Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach. The truth is they were all chayiv misa. But normally Klai Yisrael doesn't go ahead and stop and go and kill every goy who might be chayiv misa. That's not, we're not the role of the avenger to go ahead and punish everyone. But it happens to be they were all chayiv misa. Shimon and Levi, with the incident of Shechem, felt that this was a disgrace to Yaakov, and such a terrible thing was done. The people, they were chayiv misa anyways, because of other actions that they did. Avodah Zarah, and Gilui Arayos, and Geneva, and all the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach that they transgressed. They were all chayiv misa. At this point, since they had done such a terrible thing, to uphold the honor of Yaakov Avinu, Shimon and Levi wiped out the city. It could be the same thing with a nation like Moab. In other words, the people were not keeping the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And as HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects everybody to live in a proper way, and obviously the Goyim only have to keep their seven mitzvahs, but they have to. And if not, they're Chayav Misa, and it's not the type of thing we would do. But in this case, David HaMelech felt that, personally, the king of Moab went ahead, and he had trusted Moab, the king of Moab, with his family. And he came from Moab. And then they turned around and they wiped out the family. And Moab had always been causing problems for Klal Yisrael. So he didn't destroy all of Moab. He left over a third of them. And they were subservient and they would bring a mincha. They'd bring presents to David HaMelech. On the other hand, he did kill two-thirds of them. And he treated them in such a disgraceful manner to make it a lesson to Moab and to make it a lesson to all the other goyim who start up with Klal Yisrael. That normally Klal Yisrael is more gentler and kinder and it doesn't do this. But people should be aware that they're starting up with the nation of Hashem, and at this point David HaMelech took Moab and made an example from them. And we'll learn next week's Chanukah, Yirtzeh Hashem, the week after, we'll continue with the rest of the wars of David.